Psalm 71. Well, just reading it now, I hope you had the same sense that I did of it being a most wonderful word of God that we have in this psalm. The confidence of the old man. I like, take a funny comment, I like old men who love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great thing to see. It's one thing when you're younger to know God is for you, but it's brilliant to see old men who say, God has brought me thus far. God has brought me, the God of my youth, who brought me from my mother's womb, as we read in here, and has taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. We have in this psalm then, perhaps written by David, we're not told here, a psalm written by an old man. Here, we're talking of his grey hair. I know we're not all old when our hair goes grey, but it also talks of being old and grey-headed there in verse 18. But of course everyone's getting old. Everyone's getting older year by year. And when we have a new year, as we do today, we think, don't we, that we're getting older. It's like a bit like another birthday, an end of year. It feels, if you add on your birthdays plus the end of years, you get old twice as fast. So don't do that. But it is a time when you think about age and the like. Now, the same things apply in the scriptures, whether we're young or whether we're old. Jesus Christ is just the same Saviour to little children or to very old people. But of course, as people grow older, their experiences are more, and they should have an increase in their appreciation for God. They should have a richer view of God, and understanding should grow with age and with time as we read our Bibles, as we come to God in prayer week by week, as we come to church with the people of God and we encourage one another along. Now, we see in this psalm some of the great elements of the mature Christian. We see in here prayer, and we see in it great praise for God, and we see in it a desire for the preaching of the Word of God. Three very important things, and yet in a way they're all combined in a prayer. They're all spoken about in language to God. They all come from these things, and rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that as well. In fact, when you read Psalms of people starting off with many troubles, that's the common starting place of very many of the Psalms. Save me, O God. Oh, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Or the last psalm, make haste, O God, to deliver me. And you can look through them, you'll see many of them. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Many psalms. O God, thou art my God, early when I seek thee. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. I'm just turning back through some of these pages. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. And the forsaken, feeling forsaken, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. See these feelings of distress. It's quite normal for a Christian to feel quite distressed and to call out to God. But of course, we see this most, don't we, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Came into the world, the perfect divine Son of God, came in the world to suffer the contradiction of sinners, to have people turn against him, and to want to crucify him. But we see also in this psalm the Lord Jesus Christ coming through and on and rising from the dead and ascending into heaven where he is seated at the right hand of God. And as we say, that is something that is the same today. The position of the Lord Jesus Christ today is the same as it was in the days of the apostles. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in the glory. He's there for his people, for us to turn to him in prayer. And so these things come around. Now this prayer, first of all, he prays as we do and as we can. He prays in trusting, putting his trust in the Lord. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. So that's a prayer. You can trust God when you come to him with your prayers. Let me never be put to confusion. That's to have to be completely overthrown by the enemies of God. No, to deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. That's a resort. People are going to holiday resorts. But we're told that we're here praying to God, be thou my strong habitation, my dwelling, where I may continually resort. Do you ever think, I'd like to run away somewhere, I'd like to go? We should resort to God. That's what we're seeking this at the beginning of this prayer. Lord, be my great comfort. And this then reminds the psalm writer of something very, very wonderful that God does. It says, thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Now, we're talking in a great measure of assurance of God's will towards his people. Some people don't understand this. They think we must somehow try and reach up to God, and if we could be good enough, we might get there. But the person who's put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has done so because thou hast given commandment to save me. This is the sovereign will of God. When a person has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they've done so because God has sent his Holy Spirit, convicted us of sin, and turned us round, confessing our sins and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in his prayer, he brings these things up. He reassures himself. And so can we. If we are trusting in Jesus Christ and we're feeling dismayed in some way, reassure yourself that you are a Christian because God has brought you. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, has gone and found you and brought you to him. That's why we know, that's why we love the Lord Jesus Christ, because he found us, he turned us around, he caused us to turn towards him. Some people call this Calvinism, this doctrine. But I tell you, it's the most comforting doctrine. It isn't a harsh doctrine, is it? This is the sum of the wonder of the love of God toward us. For thou art my rock and my fortress. We really are safe with God. What a thing when you come to prayer to remember that. So remembers these things. He remembers then he can pray for God's delivering him out of the hand of the wicked and the unrighteous and cruel man. The word cruel there is a word that means leaven. It spreads. Cruelness, wickedness, it spreads like leaven in bread. It ferments and it just comes across and over us. Now one of the points I feel to emphasize, people talk about their enemies. I must say that for us, sometimes our enemies are hard to distinguish from our own sinful nature. Yes, sometimes there are people who are against us. But more often than not, our downfall against our holiness, against our worship of God, is our own wickedness within us. That's the worst thing that I hate. Not what other people do. And And so we pray against these things as well. And we seek the Lord's deliverance from our own sins. This is what holds us back from being full, devout, holy worshippers of the living God. So, but as he looks to trusting in God in prayer, that revitalizes his hope. Verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." And with his hope, it goes right through from the past to the future. This Christian hope, it's based on what we've known of God already and what we believe he's promised for the future. So he's trusted him before in his youth, and he knows he can continue to trust him. And that's the same for us. We are where we are because God has kept us. We've trusted him so far, and we can continue to trust him whatever is against the people of God. And he remembers then, going right back. How far can you remember back here to your childhood? Can you remember being a little child? I can remember maybe about 4 or 5, I'm not sure. Some people can remember being 2 or 1. I don't know if what age you can remember back to when you were little. But it says here, this is a fact. We can know these things of God by his word. It says, "By thee have I been holding up from the womb. From the day I was born, God was holding me up." Do you realize that? "Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." It's marvelous. This life that we have, God has given. Right from birth, well, from conception, right through out of my mother's womb, bowels, delivered from being inside, literally, before birth, I was there as a human being there. And this verse shows that, doesn't it? And then holding up from the day I was taken out. I can't remember back that far. But this is what we know God has done. It's marvelous, isn't it? This life that he's given to us. Yet, he is here strange to people. A wonder unto many. The Christian is a very strange creature in this world. You see, people today are meant to be powerful people. They're meant to be full of self-confidence. Some people say, well, Christians are, aren't they? But actually we're not. Because we admit that of ourselves, we're utterly sinful. And if in ourselves we had to meet God, we would be condemned for our sins. But what we say is that there's nothing good about me, but Jesus Christ is my Saviour. And so with God, the Almighty, I'm safe. Because Jesus has died for my sins. So I'm absolutely safe. So people think this is very strange. They think this is a strange, what a poor man. His interest on Sunday is to be in church. Strange, why do you want to be there? They think they can't understand it. It's we're a wonder, we're a strangeness. In the prayer book, it says that I am a monster to many. They think we're so strange as to be monsters. But thou art my strong refuge. See, we don't have to worry what people say about us being Christians. Because God is a strong refuge. Now this turns to praise here. Let my mouth, this is what I was saying, wasn't it? Prayer and praise. Prayer and praise, and there'll be preaching as well. Prayer and praise. Here it turns to praise. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honour all the day. It's such a marvellous thing that a poor person like you or I could be accepted by God. This expression the Bible uses, a joint heir of all things with Jesus Christ. That's what, he doesn't just forgive us our sins, he gives us an eternal inheritance in the glory to come. And we have a little bit of it now, a little sense of it, by his Holy Spirit. We sense some of what's to come. But God has promised all this, and though we may be suffering in one way or another, our mouth, we should pray that our mouths can be full of praise. That's almost the Christian's greatest weapon. You wouldn't think praise to God could be a weapon, but it's powerful, a powerful thing indeed. Now, we'll come back to this praise in a moment and some of its features, but further aspects of this prayer. He mentions specifically in verse 9, his old age. Cast me not off in the time of old age. If you've known God for some years, if you've known Jesus Christ as your Saviour, I hope you don't have a fear that God would suddenly cast you off. No. Yeah, he uses this language. It's a very open way of speaking with God. He pours out his heart in his praise. Says things, amazing things like this. As if God would cast away his beloved. As if when Jesus Christ came to the cross to be crucified, and he just cried out, "Why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" As if really he would just have been crucified and dead and finished and condemned. There's a sense of a cautious approach to God. So we can use these expressions, but as we search these doubts and fears and cares, we can be strengthened as we trust in the Lord. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. You should be strong. I was young, could run and keep going all day long. But as you get older, your strength fails. That's a frailty. There's a vulnerability. We depend on other people to help us. Will the Lord assure us that we'll be okay? And there may be things against us. Verse 10 here. For mine enemies speak against me. They that wait for my soul take counsel together. It's not very pleasant, is it? Maybe there are people that are suspicious. You might become suspicious of others as you get older. There may be some wicked things going on. We don't know. We can't be sure. What could we do if there was? We haven't got the strength to fight. Our minds are slowing down a bit. We just know the Lord's there. Can we trust him alone? We can. We can. Some of us may be tormented in some ways. Either from within ourselves or from others. They say God hath forsaken him. Pointing at you, look at this. Persecute him and take him. They think they can remove the people of God. But there's none to deliver him. But the Christian cries out in verse 12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. See these strange senses that we may have? These uneasy feelings, these uncertainties, this sense of weakness and vulnerability. You think, well, that's good, that's terrible, I don't want to be weak. But here we see, as the scripture said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because I say now, oh God, be not far from me, be near me. It's what we need to do. We need to, this is a good desire. It comes out from the vulnerability, out of the frailty. Calling on God to be near me. Can you say that? Oh God, be not far from me. I think I'd like to have that in big letters on my wall. Oh God, be not far from me. If you could be close to God, and God was close to you, well, you wouldn't be worried about very much, would you? If the Lord of heaven and earth was right, not far from you. Well, he's not. Jesus Christ says, where we are today, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of him. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We can be assured of that God that Jesus Christ has sent the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, to be with us, to be in us. God with us, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit with us. God is only a cry away, a prayer away from his people. So hope again is encouraged. Let them be confounded and consumed with their adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. His hope again, it's back up again. It hasn't gone away at all. He is praying for the end of all this confusion and adversaries and that all the opposition to the truth to be thrown overboard. You know, it's happened in history from time to time. The enemies of God suddenly stopped. A persecutor turned around into someone that praises God. This is what we are seeking from God. And this leads us on to back again to this praise of which we speak. And we see from verse 16. I will go for verse 15. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. Saying, all day long, he's going to be speaking about God's righteousness and his salvation. In the going in the strength of the Lord, verse 16. Only making mention of thy righteousness, thine only, and of his wondrous works. This is then combined with this prayer we've been saying. The prayer, pouring out prayer, all sorts of things. He's expressed here, isn't he? Some terrible things, and yet trusting in God in prayer. And then his hope is revived as he thinks on God. And who he is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has done all for his people. We have real hope in him. Therefore, to praise him. Yes, in the midst of tearful times even. It sounds like a hard thing. It sounds like a cruel thing. It sounds like a heartless thing. When you've got desperate cares, to be able to praise God. But it's a marvelous way that God works, that he can turn our mourning into joy and our sorrow into dancing, as it were, not literal but spiritual, and that we then praise him here for these things. His righteousness. God is absolutely just. He'll deal with things absolutely fairly. We can be sure. We've come as sinners. Or you may think, oh, if God's going to deal righteously with me, then there's no hope for me. That's why we're trusting in Jesus Christ, isn't it? He died for sinners. There's a righteous salvation. All the price is paid by Jesus Christ. We can trust upon him, and we will be counted righteous with him. His righteousness is counted to us. That marvellous, his salvation and his strength. And these things are beyond number. I know not the numbers thereof. How many numbers? You know, the enemies, they number the enemies. You can look at all around at the hostility towards living a godly life. You think it's impossible. But the numbers of God's righteousness and of his salvation are thousands of thousands. God's strength. God's strength. If God's strength is for you, what do you have? Something. You have all things in him. This is this wondrous works. I've declared thy wondrous works. It's been taught from his youth, and he knows the truth of God in even through to old age here. Now, this brings us to the element of preaching. We looked a little bit at prayer and of praise. If that has tried to encourage you to to be a person who, when things are wrong, don't just think, oh no, think, oh Lord, turn to the Lord. Trust upon Him in Jesus Christ with a sureness that's absolutely perfect, righteous, salvation, strength. And praise Him for these things. Praise God for being God that you can come to in your sadness, in your pain, in your tears. You can come to Him. Praise Him that you can come to Him. And now to the preaching. Verse 18. Now also when I'm old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Well, that's an enormous prayer. It's a prayer based on this praise for God, and it's a prayer with a desire for the preaching that this generation that I may be kept going, as it were. I'm old, he says, I'm grey-headed, and the reason he doesn't want God to forsake him is because he cares about others. That I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Let's just, in our, when we think of people that hate God, there are a lot of people that hate God. And you might feel a bit irritated by them at times. You might find it something very annoying. You'd rather that you didn't see them. You'd rather that they weren't there, that they didn't exist. But do you remember what we prayed in our litany? We prayed that it may please thee to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. That's the ultimate answer, isn't it? God would turn the hearts. It's God that does that. It isn't the greatest preacher or whatever. They can preach and preach rounds on end, and people would say, oh, but, or, oh, I've got a question. But when God turns their hearts, they may have other questions later, but that time their questions stop and they look in awe to this God that we praise, this God of righteousness and of salvation and of strength, and they put their trust in Him and turn to Him. That's our great desire. Well, before our days come to an end, that the Lord would enable us to show His strength to this generation and to everyone that is to come. And what a lovely conclusion to pray. With all those oppressors, all the things that are against the people of God, yet in our prayers we turn to just to praise the Lord. In whatever state we're in, we can praise the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He loved me and gave Himself for me, and our desire that God's wrath would fall upon our enemies, and that He, the Lord, would turn their hearts so they may rejoice in His righteousness. He speaks much of this righteousness and says He'll be able to speak of it all day long. Conclude, I did mention to you before, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, this is all, you're talking of things I don't understand. What is the sureness of these things? In verse 20, I show it to you. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. This speaks of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was so, wasn't it? That though He had sore troubles, great troubles, crucified, yet the Lord God the Father brought Him up from the depths of the earth. And thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Jesus Christ, fully redeemed from the cross, from the grave, and ascended into heaven, where we say he is now. Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God. So, in Christ, this perfect Saviour has done all these things to bring his people to him. Think of all these trials which we've read about in these Psalms and in here in this Psalm. Jesus Christ was there. He suffered like we have, but suffered much greater. Suffered the wrath of God for the sins of all his people. And he bore them, and he paid the price on the cross for sinners, and he rose from the dead, and he conquered hell and Satan and sin, and he's alive, and there's life in his name. He is, as we were saying this morning, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way, the only way to the Father. So in Jesus Christ, we have a way to pray in him. All our prayers, we can pour out our hearts before him. Don't be shy to pray. He's far more ready to hear than we are to pray. Far more ready to hear our prayers, to praise him. Be people that are full of praise for God. In Jesus Christ, what a marvelous Savior we have. And be of concern for those others, for the lost. That we may be given strength to speak, to show the strength of God to this generation and thy power to everyone who is to come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, forgive us, Lord, where we've forgotten thy great mercies to us since we were brought from our mother's womb, and thou hast kept us up, and thou hast brought us through against the slurs of the enemy, against the wiles of Satan. Lord, thou hast preserved thy people and picked us up after many a fall. And Lord, we thank thee that we can turn to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with all our prayers. Pour out our hearts to thee. We pray for strength to thy people. We thank thee for the righteousness of Christ, salvation, and thy wondrous works, and thy promise. Lord, help us to be a people who will praise thee. And Lord, we pray for this great power to be extended to many, many who may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be saved. And any of us, even here, who have no assurance of salvation, of heaven, we don't know that heaven is ours perhaps. Lord, may we be found looking to Jesus Christ and finding forgiveness for him. From him in his precious blood that was shed on the cross. And Lord, we pray thou would assure and build up thy people, even in old age, in this precious faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.